of the Christmas story found in Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to look at, really focus on those wise men this morning. But in Matthew chapter number 2, we're going to see these different characters, kind of give you an idea of who we'll be looking at this morning, just so you can be looking for them. But at the end of chapter number 1, we see Mary and Joseph. And of course, they were chosen by God, Mary, miraculously to bear the Christ child, Joseph to serve as a father figure. Joseph was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has always been, always will be, and always was. But for earthly sake, he would serve as that role. And we see them receiving the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. We see the wise men in verse number 1 and 2 as they approach. And the wise men, again, we don't know exactly how many they were. You know, many songs about the three, it's kind of come known as tradition that way. Could have been. We just know there's more than one. But the wise men, they sought the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have Herod in verse number 3 of chapter number 2. He's troubled by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hears about the Lord, it shakes up his life. And he becomes a very troubled man. By the way, Herod, he's one of those characters in history he wanted to be known as Herod the Great, and that is the title, but he was a crazy man. Herod, literally, he killed his own brothers, he killed his own family, he killed his own wife. Anyone that he thought could threaten him and being the king, he had them killed. And really caught many diseases toward the end of his life and was a troubled man. But that's who we're talking about there. And in verses 4, 5, and 6, we see the chief priest and the scribes are talked about. They were busy ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew about him. They knew he should be born. They even knew where he was going to be born. But they hadn't gone looking for him. They were just acting as if he didn't exist. And then you have the soldiers at the end of chapter number 2, verse 16, 17, and 18, that were sent to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to slay every child born under the age of 2, was to be killed. And when I stopped and I looked at these characters that we'll read about here this morning, I thought, you know, all of those same characters are still alive today. Let me rehearse that real quick. There are those who received the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've received him, aren't you thankful for the day you received the Lord Jesus Christ? There are people that show great wisdom, like the wise men, that are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why you're here today. You want to find out more about him, and I hope you hear more about him. There are people that know they're missing something and they're looking for something. May they find him. Maybe you're like Herod today and you're troubled by the Lord. Thoughts of the Lord stir your heart and you're not sure what to think about it. You're confused, you're angry, upset, you're just not sure. That's the way Herod felt. Maybe you're like the chief priests and the scribes. You've heard all about him, you've said in church, you've read the Bible, but you're just trying to ignore him. Live your life the way you want to, hoping that everything will turn out okay by ignoring Jesus, and, you know, ignorance is bliss. Well, that's a lie. We will give an account one day. Or maybe you're like the soldiers. You hate him. You just want to see him gone. And we all know, all I have to do is listen to the news, there's people out there that feel that way towards God. But all those characters are still here today. Let's read this passage of Scripture. We won't read all the whole chapter, but read a few verses with me. If you're able to, can we stand just as respect to the Word of God? And we'll read Matthew chapter number 2. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Well, let's go back to chapter 1. We'll see Mary and Joseph there. Chapter 1, verse 24, and then we'll go into chapter 2. It says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, which, by the way, that's how he knew to kill all children 2 years and younger. The wise men had told him how long they had traveled, and he approximately knew how old this child would have been. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him. That's not what he wanted to do. Verse number 9, When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Father, I pray that, Lord Jesus, please take the message this morning. I pray to use it for your honor and glory. I pray that, Lord, in its simplicity, the gospel would be presented today, that God, you'd help us today. If there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would receive him. And Father, I love you, and to speak to all of our hearts. In your name I pray, amen. Be seated. Thank you. So I want to focus this morning. We see these different characters, but I want to focus this morning on these wise men and how they found the Lord. Because I think in how the wise men found the Lord, it kind of typifies how all of us came to find the Lord Jesus Christ. You see this specifically in verse number 11. Again, we've read the story, we've talked about how they got there. But when they get there, verse number 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, so I want to point out a few things, how these wise men came to find the Lord. Because if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you find the Lord Jesus Christ today. And you'll find him the same way that these wise men found him here in verse number 11. Number one, the first thing I want you to see is this. They had to come to him. They had to come to him. Verse number 11 says, And when they were come into the house, they had to come to the Lord. Now understand this, there's a lot of people that live their life out there that think, well, you know, I guess I'm going to go to heaven. My grandma went to church. Well, I'm glad that your grandma went to church, but no one goes to heaven on the coattails of anyone else. There's some people that think that they're going to heaven because, I felt one way one day, or I thought that, boy, the sky's beautiful. There's a God. Well, to be saved, one must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If your means of going to heaven someday is anything apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you need to be saved today. Jesus said these words that you have to go through him. He is the door. He is the one and the only one of which salvation, the only name given under heaven by which men can be saved is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to come to him. Now, how did they come to him? I think this is important. Number one, they discovered him through the scriptures. Amen? Let me give you the story of the wise men. I have to go way back about 400, 500 years. But before that time, Israel was in bondage. Nebuchadnezzar came and he conquered all of Jerusalem. Thus began what's called the diaspora, when they scattered all the Jews. And so they brought many of them back to Babylon. and they would serve as slaves and even princes there under the kingdom, the best of the best. One of those men that came and was taken hundreds of years before this was a man by the name of Daniel. And as Daniel was taken, he lived there in Babylon, but quickly rose to prominence in the eyes of the king and the predestination of God, all right? God knew this. And so Daniel was well-favored, the Bible says. He's the one that prayed to his God and was thrown in the lion's den for doing so. Remember that story. God protected him and rose him back up. He was able to interpret dreams for the king. God gave him the wisdom of what to say. But Daniel became a very prominent man that lived there, a Jew, in Babylon. While he was there in Babylon, he began to write prophecy. You can read it for yourself, start in Daniel chapter number 7 to the end of the book. Don't do it now, I'd prefer you to do it later. But he wrote about all the prophecies of the coming Christ. He even gave specifics. He even wrote it down to the amount of weeks and days and years that it would be. He brought it down to a point to where people would know from the time that Jerusalem would be rebuilt till the time of the Christ. He prophesied it in his book. Daniel died. Those writings were kept there in the east. These men, well respected, knew the scriptures. These men knew from studying the writings of Daniel, it was time. They knew from the Old Testament that the Bible says that a scepter would rise and a star would shine out of Judah. That's what the Bible says. And as they were studying the scriptures and they knew the time was approaching, guess what they suddenly saw out there in the east? A giant star. Just as the Daniel and Mo had introduced them to the writings of the prophets, and they read it. I mean, that's pretty amazing right there. And they said, he's here. So they start making this trip and they head out there towards Jerusalem. And as they get there, they go to Jerusalem because that's where the king would be, right? But they find Herod. And now you know the rest of the story. But my point is this. They eventually came to the Lord. Amen for that. But it started first from coming to the scriptures. You and I, we all need to be saved. Amen. I'm thankful for the day that I got saved. Are you thankful for the fact that you know you're going to heaven? Amen. But all of us have this one thing in common. We all have different stories. None of us, I don't think, were living out east and saw a star up in the sky and followed it and found this church. All right? That's not what happened. All right? We all have a different story. We all have a different background, but we all have this in common. The scriptures made us wise unto salvation. The scriptures began to show us some things. The scriptures began to teach us that we were sinners. The scriptures began to teach us that Jesus Christ loves us, that he died for our sins and he rose again. You understand this, that as Paul said to a young Timothy, that he was thankful that from a child he has known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. This book that's in our hands today, it teaches us our need of salvation. It teaches us who it was that died for our sins. I'm thankful today that this book, from beginning to end, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you can go page by page by page, and this book points to one person from beginning to end, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and he is the sacrifice for our sins. But understand, they had to come to Jesus, and it was discovered through the scriptures. But number two, they were drawn by a star. They were drawn by the star. There was this light that shone in the sky. They knew they were drawn by that. Now, you and I aren't drawn by some light in the sky, all right? But I am thankful. John chapter number 1 says that light has shone upon every one of us. You say, what is that? I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, the time of my life when the Holy Spirit said, now I was young, extremely ignorant, I didn't know a whole lot, but I did know this. Travis Burke's a sinner. Travis Burke, because of his sin, deserves to go to hell. But that Holy Spirit of God said, but son, God loves you. and Jesus died for your sins. I didn't know a whole lot. But I knew standing there in my room that night, it was a Tuesday night, I knew standing there in my room that God was convicting me. God was telling me, why don't you be saved? He had used the message my dad had preached the night before. My dad had preached a weekend revival, went to a Monday. My dad preached a message. I don't remember a whole lot. I just remember he talked about the rapture. And I knew I wasn't saved. I went home that night and God was dealing with me. I was being convicted. Aren't you thankful for conviction?
Yes.
Conviction is the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart saying, you need to get right. And I knew that night. I knew that, but I didn't want, I don't know what my reasons were. I didn't want to go bother my parents. I didn't want to, thoughts went through my mind. What would people think? Because look who you are. Your grandpa's the pastor, your uncle's the associate pastor, and your dad's the youth pastor. I mean, you're supposed to already be saved, but I knew I wasn't. And I dealt with that. And I was so foolish, and some of you know this story, but to calm my own conscience, I said out loud in my bed, I said, God, I'll get saved first thing in the morning, and if I don't, kill me. That was stupid, all right? But, I planned. It was summer. I planned to wake up the next day like the typical, young man wakes up during the summer, noon, and, go talk to somebody. Well, at 5 in the morning, my mom knocks on my door and says, your grandpa wants to go fishing. Well, I'm in, dead man zone. I was like, oh, okay, sure. I love fishing. Still do. I got up. You're kind of awake, but you're not awake. I went, I threw on some clothes. I grabbed my pole. I went and stood outside. I hopped in his truck. We drove to the place. He has a little John boat, which actually he gave to me. I used it this summer. But he had a little 10-foot John boat that, you can flip him over if you breathe heavy. And I was sitting on it. And we got out there. We got on the water. And by this time now, it's about 6:30. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Oh, no. I told God. And now I'm on a boat in the water. I'm going to die. That's what I said. Now, that's just my young, immature. What'd you do that day? I got saved that day. All right. Went home. I didn't catch a fish that day. I was scared to death. I was just going to die. I know I could have talked to my grandpa. I get it, but I want to talk to my dad. And as soon as I got home, I went straight. I get to my room, put my stuff down. And God's Holy Spirit said, you need to get saved. And what was going on? The scriptures had made me wise to my need of salvation. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to be saved. Everybody look at me for a second. That's all the Holy Spirit does is draw us. I want you to meditate on that for a second. Aren't you glad that he never tells anybody to go away? He drew me. Okay, well, who all does he draw? Everyone. John chapter number 1 says, that light shines upon all men. Praise the Lord for that. These wise men, they found the Lord. They had to come to him. They discovered him through the scriptures. They were drawn by the star. But now look at verse number 11 again. And when they were coming to the house, how did they come to find the Lord? They discovered him through the scriptures. They were drawn by the star. But now listen to me. There was a door that they had to step through. They had to make a choice to come to him. I'm thankful that the scriptures make us wise to salvation. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit draws us. There must be a time in all of our lives when we choose to come to the Lord. A time in all of our life when we say, yes, I believe this. For me, It was standing there in my bedroom on a Tuesday night, knowing I was lost, Holy Spirit calling me. And I said, I want to get saved. And I walked out of that room, went back and talked to my dad. I don't remember one thing he told me. I know he told me some Bible verses, but I'll be honest, I already had those verses memorized. All I knew is that I was that day choosing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is this, you've never been saved. You say, well, I want to know the Lord as my Savior. Well, understand, listen to the Scriptures. We're all sinners, but God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Holy Spirit will convict your heart. Then you choose to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I do that? By believing on his name. Look at John. We'll come right back here to Matthew. But look at this. We've referenced it a lot. Read it with me in John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. I wasn't planning to go here, but let's just read it real quick. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. It introduces us to John there in verse number 6, who verse number 7 gives his message. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Aren't you thankful for that? Verse number 10, talking about this light, the Lord Jesus, he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. Verse number 12, how do I come to know the Lord? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do I come to the Lord? You believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he did what he said he did. And what is that? That he is the Son of God, and that he died for our sins, and that he rose again. You know, for us that are saved, it's kind of, we wonder, how could someone not believe that, right? But yet a world is full of people who reject that. And if you're here today and all you have done is reject that message, I want you today to know something. God loves you. And he, through the ages of time, arranged and made sure you'd be sitting here this morning, a couple days before Christmas 2019, to hear one more time that God loves you and that Jesus died for your sins. And if you'll choose to believe him, you can be saved today. These wise men, they came to the Lord back in Matthew. Number one, they came to him. They discovered him through the Scriptures. They were drawn by the star, and a door had to be stepped through. I like John chapter 6 and verse number 37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. These men chose to come to him. But then I want you to see secondly in Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11. They surrendered to him. They surrendered to him. It says in verse number 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshiped. I have this next word underlined because it's important. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship Joseph. They didn't worship Mary. They worshiped him. And they fell before him. The Bible says they fell down. How did these wise men come to know the Lord? Well, number one, they had to come to him. Number two, they surrendered to him. James chapter 4, verse number 6 says this: God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If there were any men that have ever been that could count in themselves for salvation, these men had to be pretty well respected. I mean, you stop and think about these men. Number one, they had an incredible mind. So how do you know that? They're wise men, right? I mean, the Bible didn't mistakenly call them that, all right? They were well-educated people. Following me? These men not only had a great mind, but they had some money. How do you know they had money? They gave some pretty serious gifts to the Lord Jesus and made a pretty long trip. And I doubt they used your Babylon Express to get there, right? They had it. They had some great motives. They were trying to find Jesus. They did some great things. They gave a serious offering. But I'm here to tell you today that education won't get you to heaven. Money won't get you to heaven. Good motives won't get you to heaven. Doing good works won't get you to heaven. There must come a time in your life, just as these men, that you just fall before Him. Why did these well-educated, wealthy men fall on their knees before Him? For the same reason, we must do the same. Number one, we admit our sinfulness. You know why these men fell down on their knees? Because they knew, now look at me, that that child is worthy of worship and that they were beneath Him. You and I, when we get saved, we are recognizing that He is God, but I'm a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care who you are. We're all unrighteous. You see, but I do some good things. In comparison to God's righteousness, all of our righteous acts, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. There's no comparison between the most righteous man on this earth, whoever he may be, still falls short of the glory of God. They fell on their knees. We must admit our sinfulness. We must acknowledge His righteousness. That I am a sinner, but He is God. He is righteous. He is holy. And we must accept His sacrifice. Accept that He is the Lamb of God. If you're saved today, it's because you chose to come to the Lord. You chose to come to the Lord because the Scriptures made you wise. Salvation, the Holy Spirit convicted you, and you made a choice to believe on Him. When you chose to believe on Him, you recognize the fact that I am a sinner, that He is God. And I believe that He paid for my sins. When we say God resisteth the proud, there's not one person in this auditorium who's not proud. We all have pride. But I mean this, that there comes a time in your life and you say, I can't. I can't get to heaven on my own. But Jesus Christ made the way. And I choose to receive it. So they came to Him. They surrendered to Him. And then I love how their time with Him ends. They worshiped Him. The Bible says again in verse number 11, they fell down and worshipped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Psalm 107 in verse number 2 says this: let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what's that verse say? If you're saved, you ought to be willing to say, thank you, God. Amen for my salvation. Thank you, Father, for saving a wretch like me. Praise you, God, for sending your Son to die for my sins. I'm thankful for the day that I got saved. I'm thankful that I can stand here today and say I know that I'm going to heaven. And when true worship, when we understand this, just as they, we will open ourselves and say, God, whatever I have, it's yours. It's called a reasonable service. It is a fruit of salvation. And you see the fruit of their salvation in their worship, in the fact that, real quick, that they open themselves up and say, God, here's what we have. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's yours. And there ought to be a time after all of our salvation that we say, God, thank you for saving me. I'd be going to hell if it wasn't for you. So God, I give you my everything. Use me however you want. But it's done through opening themselves and secondly, obeying. And where do you see obeying? Verse number 12, they left the house and they were heading back to Herod. They were going to report in thinking that Herod wanted to worship this child. But God spoke to them in a dream. He said, go back to your own country. Take a different path. Because Herod no doubt would have sent men to go find him. Take a different path. But go home. Don't go back to Herod. You know what they did? They took a different path and they obeyed the Lord just like he said. Child of God, let me speak to you real quick. If you're saved, you ought to have no issue surrendering all that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life should be one marked of sacrifice in obedience to a great God who is worthy. That's how these wise men came to know the Lord. When I stopped and thought about it, that's how all of us come to know the Lord too. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, God, for this passage.